Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text before us this morning is, as I mentioned, from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9. Disciples talking about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Who do you think it is? The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sure seems like a lot of people think Pope is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Especially right now, as tens of thousands of people throng just to catch a glimpse. Although I kind of wonder how great you can be when you have an international audience and you don't mention Christ. Kind of makes you wonder. Let's turn a little bit more locally. Who's greatest? This side of the cities, maybe you might think Eagle Brook is the greatest, huh? With their 6 campuses and plans for more. Well, we could go a little bit more regional. Think Texas, Joel Osteen, his prosperity gospel, where if you believe hard enough, then even you too can be successful. What do you think? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples thought about that very same question. There they were on their way to adoptive hometown of Capernaum. And as they walked along the road, Jesus had been teaching them along the way. And as they were, probably Jesus is out front walking, or maybe Jesus was kind of in back, kind of watching as they walked. And there they were. Now, Jesus, of course, knew exactly what they were doing, but he asked anyway to give them an opportunity to admit what they were doing. But as we know, they kept silent. Because they were talking about who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sadly, it's a question that continues to plague the church today, 2,000 years later. Maybe it's not in quite the same form, but it still comes back to the same question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Or how can I be great in the kingdom of heaven? In fact, it's caused a lot of churches to invent a theology. Pastor Cordes mentioned it last week. We call it the theology of glory. Only it's not glory to the Lord. It's glory to self. Glory to churches, not the church. Glory to members and individuals, not glory to Christ. And as you can imagine, this is not a theology that the scriptures teach. Today, as there is probably a buzz, or at least I'm feeling it, a buzz of excitement here at New Life with a new pastor coming on board. It's one of those opportunities where you think, okay, we're putting some special emphasis in some certain areas, and boy, just think how great we can be. We can show people what a great church we are. We can show people what great programs we have. We can show people just how great we are. Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, huh? No, we want to make sure that we're focusing not on our own greatness. That all comes back to the cross. This is why we embrace and preach the cross of Jesus Christ. As we talk about this today, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends, so there they were, those disciples, walking along the road, talking amongst themselves. And Jesus says, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. First and foremost, the problem with the disciples here as they're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is that they still didn't quite understand just what that kingdom of heaven was and still is today. They still were thinking of Christ's kingdom being earthly. That Jesus would finally throw off the oppression of the Romans, that the old kingdom of David would be restored. That was what they believed the Messiah to be. And while they were starting to understand that that wasn't quite what God had in mind, they still weren't quite there yet. And you might think, well, it's mighty presumptuous of these disciples thinking how great each of them could be in the kingdom of heaven. And you might be quick to judge them, but don't be too harsh too quickly. I mean, understand, they had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus. They'd carried out his bidding. They had seen him perform miracles. Jesus had talked about them being part of his kingdom work. You can understand why they would see Jesus as this triumphant king on earth, ruling from Jerusalem, and his 12 faithful disciples who had been with him through thick and thin would have positions of honor and glory right alongside him. Ah, how great that would be, huh? Great in the kingdom of heaven. But as you know, that's not what Jesus meant. And when he asked the disciples about it, they probably were checking how well their sandals were shined because they kept quiet. Probably a little sheepish, recognizing how self-absorbed they'd been. They didn't want to admit what they'd been talking about. Now, the fact that that question continues to remain today, few people would want to admit that they think about greatness, their own greatness, in the kingdom of heaven either. In fact, we'll be talking about that in our Revelation Rewind series about how some get so caught up in the greatness here on earth in adult Bible study on Sunday mornings. Revelation Rewind coming up, just a little shameless plug. But we'll come to see that there are many churches in America today who talk about how Jesus and his kingdom will be revealed soon, in that Jesus will have an earthly reign. And at that time, then the church will be successful. Then churches will be packed. Then there'll be no problems and no issues, and everybody will know that Christ is Lord, and we can finally reign with Christ. It sounds a lot like the disciples. A misunderstanding of what Christ's kingdom is and what he will do. They misunderstand what Jesus is trying to do here. They miss the truth. Essentially, they want to have heaven right here on earth. That's not what Christ is talking about. In the process, though, they emphasize the wrong things. They emphasize earthly things, and earthly glory, and earthly peace, and earthly joy. Now, you can't blame them for wanting to have heaven on earth. We all want heaven. It's just that we want heaven the way God wants us to have it, called from grace to glory. We want to have heaven the way God would have it when he comes again on the last day to establish that new heaven and the new earth. But so many church bodies want to have it here, and so they get activated. They want to make changes here. They want to make a difference here. That's why they get involved in politics. That's why you see Christian leaders standing before Congress, yet failing to mention Christ. It's a misunderstanding of what Jesus is doing. When you can't increase numbers, though, when the glory isn't there, then all of a sudden you start to go, well, maybe we could do things differently. You know, the Christian faith is about sin and grace and law and gospel, but you know, a lot of people don't like to hear about sin, so we'll get rid of the sin and we'll have a circus in the parking lot. Because that would get people in, right? They don't want to hear about sin, they just want to have fun. So sometimes you end up making poor decisions that take away the very thing that we need to hear. They're so busy trying to give people earthly peace and earthly joy that they forget about the fact that we already have peace and joy through Christ. We don't need to bring it about. We already have it. We possess it by God's grace. But they're so caught up in trying to be great in the earthly world. I had a great meeting earlier this week. Sandy isn't here, so I can talk about her, right? A great meet with Sandy Iverson last week, Thursday. We talked about strategic planning here at New Life. It was a great meeting. Fun to talk about all of the opportunities and blessings that this congregation has. What a beautiful thing. We have so many blessings and opportunities before us. And it can be kind of heady. You know, you start talking, you start dreaming about what could be. And while we had a beautiful conversation balanced with opportunity and scriptural principles and priorities, yet you can see how easy it would be to kind of jump ahead and say, wouldn't it be great if we could have a bigger church and more people? Wouldn't it be great if we could add all kinds of programs? And yeah, all of a sudden you start to lose how great our Savior is, huh? And focus more on how great our congregation can be. But that's typical in our me-first society, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to look too far to see how people want to bring glory to themselves. Just watch a football game today. Score a touchdown, and I guarantee you that the one who scored the touchdown will somehow, in some way, draw attention to themselves. That's just good business, right? Draw attention to yourself, get a higher salary, do great things, be rewarded. I mean, we all kind of like that. We want people to know that we've done well, and there certainly is acknowledgement from our Heavenly Father when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But when it's not about serving God and it's about glorifying myself, yeah, there's a problem. And if you still have doubts about this theology of glory, consider this. The Bible never talks about it. In fact, it says quite the opposite. The Bible doesn't talk about the church ruling in an earthly sense. The Bible doesn't talk about promising packed churches. It doesn't talk about earthly glory. It never says that the church's mission is to bring peace and joy to the world. Rather, our mission is to proclaim that we have peace and joy through Christ. And that's what brings us not to the theology of glory. It brings us to the theology of the cross, the theology of Jesus Christ. Because while the theology of glory seeks to bring glory mainly to churches and its members, the theology of the cross can best be summed up in the words of our text for today. Jesus put it to the disciples. He said, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise." That's it. That's the basic message of Scripture. No games, no gimmicks, no smoke, no mirrors, just the pure, sweet message of the cross. You don't see any earthly glory there. There's nothing in that statement that says what we Christians must do to bring about the kingdom of God. Nowhere. It tells us what's already been done. That's the mission of the church. To preach. To proclaim. To witness. To share. Not what we do, but what Jesus has already done. Even in the midst of his suffering, Jesus proclaimed that his kingdom to Pilate. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when the Pharisees challenged him, Jesus said to them, they wanted to know when the kingdom of God was coming. Jesus said clearly, "The kingdom of God is within you." That's right. The kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom with earthly glory. It's a spiritual kingdom with spiritual glory. So when we talk about Christ's kingdom, we're talking about his rule in our hearts. We're talking about his forgiveness and the salvation that was won for you and me at the cross. All things pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he showed the greatest love the world has ever known in the greatest act of service the world has ever known. Jesus loving you and me so much that he's willing to go to that cross to make sure that you and I could proclaim that cross. But the disciples then, and quite frankly still, the world today just doesn't understand it. Truth is, they don't want an ugly old cross. They want earthly glory. They want to be first. They want to be great. So Jesus gives an entirely different answer to what they expected. He's sitting down. Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." And so in the kingdom of heaven, greatness is not a matter of titles. It's not a matter of authority. It's not a matter of glory. To be first, to be great, means imitating Jesus and becoming least, becoming last, becoming a servant, serving all. That's true greatness. That is true greatness in the kingdom of God, sacrificing your own time, your own talents, your own treasures, your very self for the sake of others, even if people don't realize it, even if they don't appreciate it. It means helping a child, as Jesus brought the child among them, helping a child to grow, to mature, to nourish. It means letting that light of the gospel shine in this sin-darkened world, in every aspect of your life. Not just singing hymns here in church, but out there in the world, to let people know that the light of Christ not only shines in your heart, but it shines through you like a beacon to the world around you. And it means administering the sacraments here, baptizing, bringing new life into the church, new souls brought into the family of believers, nourishing those souls through the very body and blood of Christ. This is service. This is true greatness in the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus calls on his people to carry out. And that's understanding the theology of the cross, imitating Christ. So the kingdom of heaven is not about our glory. It's not about our accomplishments. It's about what Christ has done, giving glory to Jesus. It is my prayer that as we begin ministry together here at New Life, that our time be marked by that desire to serve others in love, in thanksgiving, even as Christ has first loved us. God grant it. Amen.